call.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Present.
Commissioner Evans?
Present.
Vice Chair Niemer? Commissioner Shepherd? He's here. Oh, here he is. Come on.
Present.
Record please reflect to the meeting. Chairman? Roll call for
Wait. Yeah, let's call in the catches.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Here.
Commissioner Evans?
Present.
Commissioner Shepherd?
here, present.
Vice Chair Niemer?
Here.
Chair Walker?
Here.
Looks like.
We're going to the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's get up. Pledge allegiance to the flag, the Republic, which stands one nation under God, indivisible, where freedom and justice for all. We have set the, it shows you the public comments right after the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm moving the public comments to the end before the meeting is adjourned. Next, I will combine resolution of censure against Commissioner Annie Niemer and removal of Commissioner Annie Niemer from office of vice chair together as one item because they're very similar in nature and one supports the other. However, I have it on the agenda such should the board decide they want to have it in any different way, they might agree with one area and they might not agree with the other area. I wanted to give them an opportunity to potentially have that difference of vote. But for right now, they're both be put together. Next. I would like to remind everyone present that this is a Harbor business meeting. As it is in real life, not all events are positive and easy. Sometimes difficult actions must be undertaken to run a business. It is no pleasure of mine to attend today's meeting, but it is an absolute necessity. Today's meeting is all about rules and consequences. Anybody with a reasonable amount of life experiences recognizes that rules without consequences are useless. From there, it follows that a society or an organization without effective rules will fail no matter what. In this spirit, I have brought forth my report of the chairman, and I hope all of you had a chance to read my draft and make up your opinion. This is just my opinion that I put forth with in conversations with various staff that I was able to compile this. So with this, I bring it forth to the various commissioners to have a discussion on those two points. Wants to get go first. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am gravely concerned about this procedure. I feel it's entirely and wholly inappropriate here at this time. Okay. The notice requirement is defective. These are serious allegations with serious consequences. And I got notice of this meeting sometime around 6:41 yesterday afternoon, and the packet short time later. That's simply not enough time to give Ms. Niemer a chance to review the materials, develop her response to the allegations, organize perhaps representation by counsel, and have an adequate opportunity to respond to the allegations. Now, with respect to your report and your allegations, you said a moment ago that it was just your opinion combined with facts. Okay. How much is opinion in your report? How much is opinion? How much is fact?
How much?
Yeah.
I'm looking at our bylaws, and I want to defend our bylaws, actually the bylaws that Ms. Nima had contributed very, very early on. And I feel that those bylaws were violated in that way that I have described. And this is my opinion. And since I'm only one out of five, I wanted to make sure that you have the opinion as well to agree with me or not.
Well, before we go to that level, I think it's important that all of us, particularly Ms. Niebuhr, understand that you are making these accusations based on knowledge and the law.
Right.
If you've ever gotten a traffic ticket or any kind of citation, you'll recognize that the accusing officer always signs his name to the citation under penalty of perjury. I think it's appropriate for you, sir, to sign your charging document under penalty of perjury. So she knows he's responsible for the statement.
I just want to point out to you, this is not a court of law. We have rules, and the censure does not carry any prison term or any significant result from it. A censure is something that Vice Chair Nima can wear like a crown or a tiara from now until ever. The vice chair position has been, as of right now, meaningless. Why? Because I have been around. I haven't been absent. I've run the meetings from the very first day. So therefore, in effect, all of those actions that we're taking are just a slight, albeit embarrassing, maybe, but there are consequences without any real sting to it.
Well, let's talk about your running of the meetings here. Yes, you've had a near perfect attendance record. That's commendable. However, due process requires that Ms. Niebuhr have a right, a fundamental constitutional right to due process. And the first element of that.
I recognize it. However, this document in some way or form went out as of last week. So this is not something that she got yesterday night without any prior notice. So I recognize this. How much more are you gonna go before I go to the next commissioner? Because you're not the only commissioner who wants to talk.
Well, an unbiased tribunal is fundamental to due process. You don't want to go to a kangaroo court or a lynch mob to assert your rights. Now, my understanding is you're going to preside over this hearing. Is that correct? Is that correct?
I do what?
I think you're continuing to conflate this with kind of judicial hearing. This is merely an internal policies and procedures that we're reviewing on whether or not her actions would constitute reason to remove her from vice chair and censure her. This isn't a court of law.
But she's still entitled to due process.
We're having due process now. We're discussing the report of the chairman.
Ms. Niebuhr is entitled to an unbiased tribunal. And if you intend to provide the presiding officer role, you're a witness to these so-called facts. You're a participant in some of them. Okay? I think you have an inherent bias against being a fair hearing officer here. And I don't think you should be handling that position.
So in the instance that we would propose to censure or remove somebody from a chair, how do you see that happen? Are we to hire somebody? Are we to select people from the community to make this decision?
Well, it's often done.
Because we all are very close to this issue.
Too close.
So how would you propose?
Hire a hearing officer. They do it for the DMV. The DMV as a hearing officer, if you're going to go and contest something, you go to the hearing officer.
This is not a court of law.
It's an administrative procedure.
It's an internal.
Nevertheless, there are rules of procedure that apply. It's just not a free-for-all, John.
If nobody's proposing that, it's a free-for-all.
Well, I think the charging document is proposing that very
thing. There are no charges. These are merely statements that will constitute our right to such an interview for a vice chair position.
These are allegations, statements of alleged facts, statements of alleged law violations.
Do you see in any of these, this report from the chairman, do you have contention with any section of it that you can articulate and why?
I'll get to that. Okay. Ms. Niebuhr has the right to be presented with the documents and evidence against her and to confront and examine witnesses against her. Who are those witnesses? What are the documents?
Again, you're conflating this with the court of law.
Due process.
These are internal procedures to remove somebody in such a from a vice chair position.
Due process. She has a right to present evidence and to call witnesses on her behalf.
Once again, you're conflating this with the court of law.
Doesn't have that right?
To call witnesses?
Yeah.
This is not a court of law.
You're saying she does. Is it your contention, John? Let's flesh this out. Is it your contention she's not entitled to due process?
My contention is that it's the right of the board to review this document and decide amongst the commissioners whether or not she's in violation of our bylaws and our standard operating procedures, and whether or not that constitutes her removal from vice chair position in session.
Look, we understand what's underlying law.
She is more than welcome. She is more than welcome to make a statement on why she doesn't agree with these.
John, we all understand what's going on here. You do, and I
absolutely understand. We're discussing
what's going on here. Yes.
No, what's going on here is that we're reviewing a report of the chairman and determining whether or not her actions were in violation of the bylaws and whether or not that would allow us to remove her from her vice chair position and center.
Well, I think the chair has an obligation to address the repetition that we keep hearing from John. We've already heard all of it. I'm telling you, sir, that Ms. Niebuhr has the right to face her accusers and cross-examine witnesses against her.
We're all here. Cross-examine. This is not a court of law. This is a board action.
Chair Weber, may I speak?
Yes. Why don't you jump in, Rick? Yes.
I'd like to happen is first of all, I didn't like the idea that they were separated. The votes were separated between the two agenda items. But I think the best way to start this would be to get a rebuttal from Vice Chair Niebuhr. And I'd like to ask her if she had enough time to put together a rebuttal on these on the violations of our bylaws and the concerns of this board that we have about what she's done. And your report as a chairman, I would like to hear her rebuttal, and maybe that'd be the best way to start the, because you had a right to state your concerns, and so maybe we need to hear from her if that would be the proper way to conduct this meeting.
All right.
I'm asking.
Works for me.
Thank you, Commissioner Shepherd, for creating some decorum in this. I have struggled to put together time. I've used almost every second I've had in my free time since receiving this. Your first one was pulled off. The second one was that the first one was actually against the Brown Act. That's why it was pulled down. The second one, there was no conference with anyone giving 24 hours, only sat here for a 4-hour meeting. You clearly would not have given me enough time. As many members of the public and staff now know, I've had issues within my family, with medical issues with my children. So no, have I had enough time to compile? Probably not, but I've done my very best to do so. With that said, I agree with Commissioner Schmidt that I have not been given adequate due process in this. However, I will do my very best. This harbor belongs to the people, not to me, not to anyone's commissioner. I represent this community. Today's agenda is not about accountability, it's about silencing a commissioner who has demanded it. I want the public to understand clearly my actions as a commissioner have been in good faith, consistent with my fiduciary duty, and directed at protecting this district. This effort to remove me as vice chair is retaliation for raising legitimate governance concerns. The true issues facing this harbor are not about me. They're about looming insolvency, falsified records, and leadership that refuses to be held accountable. My fiduciary duty to the public, yes, the bylaws say I should report attorney contacts, but bylaws cannot override state law. State law requires me to act first and foremost in the best interest of the district. When I saw illegal residency, falsified government documents, and Brown Act violations, I informed counsel. Reporting those contacts to the very people implicated would have destroyed any chance of accountability. That wasn't a violation. It was me upholding my oath. My role is to act with diligence and independent judgment to ensure this district complies with the law and maintains accurate, accessible records. This is exactly what I have done. And failures of leadership and fiduciary duty. Let us be very clear about what is happening here. Chair Weber has approved multiple deficit budgets without correction, even as the harbor nears insolvency. He's failed to report out as chair of the Finance Committee. He ignored document reports of falsified government records that have already cost the harbor tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars. Instead of fixing these problems, he has created a pattern of bias and retaliation. When I demand accountability, retaliation follows. That is not leadership. It's a cover-up. Selective enforcement and retaliation. Chair Weber has silenced public comment by canceling meetings, selectively enforcing rules against commissioners and members of the public. These actions damage public trust. Meanwhile, I am targeted for doing what leadership refuses to do, contacting agencies, verifying facts, and demanding accountability. Each time, it turns out the harbor has been misled by its own leaders. That is the definition of selective enforcement and retaliation. Call to action. This censure does not solve a single problem. It wastes more time and taxpayer money while the real issues, falsified records, and ignored investigation and looming insolvency remain unaddressed. If you want accountability, start with a leadership that failed to act. Start with a chair who looked away while this harbor spiraled towards bankruptcy. Start with those who covered up misconduct instead of correcting it. In closing, I was elected by the people of this community to protect this harbor. I was actually called by Roger Gitlin begging to run for this because I was no longer going to do so. Thank you for encouraging me to step forward. I will continue to fulfill that duty. I will not be silenced, intimidated, or scapegoated. This harbor is at a crossroads, cover up or accountability, collapse or recovery. I choose accountability, I choose recovery, and I will not be silenced. With that, I've made documents. Here's about half the packet. I have the other half of the packet on the printer. It's quite a large packet, and the printer that I was using jammed up. So I have the other half of the packet in the works for anyone who would like it. Fiduciary duties of a special district. It might behoove the commissioners to be aware of your duties before accusing me of violating mine. And with the bylaws, I agree. In December and January, Commissioner Evans and I, primarily myself, worked extensively to redraft or improve them. I also worked with Harbor Master Rademacher, and with that, there are several flaws. Some of them have already been pointed out. Here's a document that can be passed out to the public for some of those issues that need to be corrected. Namely, they are giving the Harbor Master more oversight than he should be provided, a diminishing oversight of this board. I believe Commissioner Schmidt was referring to something that should look like a charge sheet like this instead of an opinion, which is a fact, an exhibit, an interpretation of the law, and your opinion. I have created one of these on each commissioner that I will hand out. Like the copier. Sorry, Commissioner Shepherd, you're not here. I will leave one in your box and try to email you one. That's your copy. Mr. Schmidt.
Thank you.
So the first half of the packet, here it is for anyone in the community that would like it. Mr. Evans, I'm still looking for the charge sheet for the violations you have committed on this board. So while we are throwing stones at me for attempting to smear me, because this really has no ramifications other than trying to make me look bad in the public, because, again, I've never had to step up as chair. There's a giant smear campaign against me to attempt me to step down, to resign. That is not going to happen. It's not going to provide a cover-up. And Commissioner Evans, I believe that your copy may be what is in the logjam at the mailroom. So I will present that via email into the board at a later time. With this, we can begin with the February 4th meeting cancellation. Commissioner Weber decided unilaterally to cancel the February 4th, 2025 meeting. There were a couple justifications to give it. It's an email in the packet. I adamantly I pleaded with you not to cancel it because we had other agenda items to discuss, namely the hoist with Ocean Gold and Fathom Seafood. However, that is not what you stated. You canceled that meeting. You're saying, nope.
I'm giving you plenty of leeway
to talk out of agenda area.
This is not out of
agenda. I'm giving you plenty of leeway.
Please.
This packet details many of the concerns that are in the allegations against me, reaching out to outside agencies and reaching out to counsel. This one in particular, I did reach out to counsel. That is not in here because it's attorney-client privilege. However, the emails among us are in this packet. This meeting specifically was canceled up as a cover-up to prevent public from talking. Your words, not mine. Thank you for violating First Amendment rights. July 9th, you again canceled a meeting. I, again, very clearly proved agenda items. You violated the bylaws by canceling the meeting. Justification was that there were two meeting meetings in the week. However, we've had an incredible amount of special meetings lately. So it doesn't pass the bylaws test. And secondly, the word is that you were trying to create space between the June 25th meeting where the board voted 3-2 on Harbormaster Rademacher's comment, the articles that were published in the triplicate, and creating space for the board so that they didn't have to take heat from the public. That's why that meeting was canceled, not for the bylaws. July the 31st, we were supposed to have a meeting agendized for the July 23rd meeting. Meeting would have been perfect.
Commissioner Niemer, I understand what you put together, and I remember reviewing it. However, I believe the agendized item is to discuss the report of the chairman, not other make accusations in other areas. Can we stick to this report? Can you rebut it?
We all skip the cancellations and the lack of transparency. I'll skip the budget report because I didn't reach outside agencies for that. Approved budgets prior to us taking commission that were in the deficit. The public comments violating, refusing to address it, violating First Amendment rights. The unauthorized finance charges I presented to the chair that were ignored. More First Amendment right violations. More violations, Harbormaster approving contracts, not the board. Harbormaster trying to conduct a serial meeting. The harbor master.
Point of order.
I'm getting
yeah,
there.
Sure. I think we're getting
if
there.
This seems to be very scattered. Maybe
no,
we just
so
go through.
Scattered.
If we just go through each of these from your report, I think
yes.
We can start with number three on authorized communication with external agencies.
Yeah.
Commissioner.
No.
She is
not
pressing those.
No. You are not going to override me when you are trying to smear me in public.
Well, if there's a point of order, do I have a second to?
Well,
I'm getting
it's
there.
Just
here's the outside agencies. The bond.
You might get addressed.
Outside agency, right here.
And the chairman.
No, you do not get to dictate how I can bounce.
That's not what I'm attempting to do. What I'm attempting to do is keep it on.
Great, thank you for your opinion.
I'm still waiting for Dan Schmidt's interruption. For due process,
will you
me.
Stop interrupting me? Point of order.
Yeah.
You asked me to speak.
Okay.
I am trying to do
go
it.
Ahead.
You give Dani an hour to discuss her contract.
You didn't.
You are insulting me with this.
Go ahead.
I inquired about the bond when I was in the recorder's office for personal matters. The recorder notified me, Alyssa Northrup, that we did not have a bond. That is how that matter began. The emails are here to detail that. I reached out to Nationwide for my ability as a fiduciary duty to verify the status of that bond. Those emails are in here. Here is out of order, but here is a charge sheet for Evans. I'll skip this one. It's not on the issue. Finance committee. Members of the public. Does it count if I reach out to members of the public or they reach out to us and you ignore them? Here, the sheriff, MOU. Commissioner Evans and Harbor Master Rademacher decided to authorize the sheriff to use the Coast Guard building without board approval or a memorandum of understanding. I reached out to county council to confirm or deny this and figure out the status of that. I also reached out to the harbor master to figure out the status of the deed when the Coast Guard vacated the Coast Guard building in 21 or 22. At that time, Harbor Master Tim Petrick said it would take 2 to 3 years to receive the deed for that building. It had clearly been well over that time. So I reached out to GSA. They said they didn't have control of it. I then reached out to several. It took me 4 or 5 different agencies and people over a matter of just 2 days to get to the right person at the Coast Guard building. That individual was very cooperative, Stephen Hines. As most people know that with the Paul Boylan has been representing me, he encouraged me to have the harbor master take over much of the responsibility of that. Since I stopped following up on the amendment needed for the Coast Guard building, zero movement has happened. Therefore, we cannot garner any revenue from that building. Instead, the harbor master gets to live and work there without a lease or board official board directive. So there's an outside agency I reached out to. The tribunal that is happening here today began under a resolution adopted in June of 23. That amendment to the bylaws was established by the board back then to try to silence then Commissioner Brian Stone. So this is not the first time it has been done. However, Brian Stone was never tried to be censured. This would be the first time. In my opinion, it may go along with the pattern of the chair trying to silence females in the community, a very clear bias on your behalf. My USDA outreach, another outside agency, when we were abruptly presented with the final budget, June 25th, 2025, at the last meeting before it needed to be at least preliminarily approved so that we could continue payroll. The next day, I woke up realizing that along with the budget not being accurate, also staff told us that they had reviewed the documents for that loan without providing verification to us or any evidence of those documents. Again, our fiduciary duty to see those documents before believing. I'm allowed to trust you. I need to verify. The office did not have those loan documents. I reached out to USDA to acquire those loan documents to verify what I had been told and ensure that I was upholding my fiduciary duty to myself and the public. Many of you have seen a lot of those emails. Thank you, Sandy Moreno, for passing a lot of those out. You failed to pass out the very first ones. That's in this packet. Not to mention, won't bring it up, along with the budget, violating the bylaws packet is an organizational structure. As far as I can tell, the last official one that I could find online done was in 21. So thank you, Harbor Master, for taking over that board responsibility for the board without authorization. Lease buyout of the Abalone building. Going back from before I was here, I was on this board, but definitely when I was in this room, 2022, this commission voted to buy out the lease for the old Abalone building of $80,000 in the benefit of traveling officials to live there. And in turn, our harbor master and other officials have lived there since then. That violated Coastal Commission. When I was a member of the public, I did not dig deep. I felt it was not my duty. It was the board's duty to figure out what was going wrong. And one day, hopefully it would catch up with them if they were inaccurate. When I became a commissioner, I felt it my duty, having the knowledge I had, to investigate that. It wasn't actually me that investigated it. It was Linda Sutter pointing it out to the harbor master, and the harbor master defending himself to the commission. At that time, the commission should have caught that the email thread was short. So I verified, again, reaching out to Coastal Commission to verify that email. In turn, this board was only given partial information. Coastal Commission said at no time has anyone ever been allowed to reside in that building. County agreed with that. This board refused to evict the harbor master from that building. And it took the county threatening to shut off power to rectify that situation. Now we have the harbor master living in the his mattress in a locked room per Chair Weber in the Coast Guard building rather than living in the only authorized place on this district to live is the second story Bayside per our land use plan. Another outside agency emailing county council regarding the Coast Guard building. Again, the harbor master only provided a snippet of document to county council. I happened to be talking to her about an unrelated issue with the harbor when it came up. I did not reach out to her specifically for this matter. In that, we discovered that she did not have all documents, so I forwarded her all the documents. That's when we learned that, and she learned that per the Coast Guard agreement we have with the Coast Guard, no one outside of the Crescent City Harbor District is currently allowed at the Coast Guard. Once the amendment is complete, then we can rent it out to other, hopefully, law enforcement agencies. However, again, since it's been left in the hands of the Harbor Master, it has not moved. Another outside agency, back in January, realizing that being a member of the public and having years of history here, there had never been, in my remembrance, a second insurance quote for a very sizable insurance policy. I asked for permission if I could reach out to my insurance company who provides vessel insurance for me. They confirmed they have also provided harbor insurance and that they would move forward with documentation with the second quote as long as we provided documentation. Over the months, I tried to get second insurance quote. Staff refused. It was supposed to be agendized at the last meeting. It still hasn't been brought forward. So again, trying to save the harbor money or at least get the harbor completely covered. These are all emails with the insurance agent back and forth. Here's the documents. Website company. Back in December, when we first took over, I mentioned to Harbor Master Rademacher that I had grave issues with the website. There was the remainder of a grant towards the end of the previous board's term. They decided to allot, I believe, somewhere between $3,000 and $5,000 to Mika Barr to fix the website. In my opinion, as a user of the website, it only made it worse. I relayed this. Harbormaster Rademacher set up a meeting with Ariel Garcia on January 8th. I asked him why if Chair Weber should be present. He said no, that Chair Weber had done all that he could and would not be present for that meeting. During that meeting, he presented, Ariel Garcia presented a proposal. The emails behind that ask why no changes had happened and about that proposal. Since then, we have been, it has been brought up at the podium and by myself that that's a contract that should have been done by the board. Again, the Coast Guard, outside contact. Here is a chain of emails regarding that. At no time have I ever given these agencies directive from the board that the board wishes to do this, will do that, has voted this way on their behalf, nothing. What I am doing is verifying the only two instances that you could even try to extrapolate that out would be the couple times that I was in contact with the Coast Guard when I discussed those issues with you, Chair Weber, about how for the amendments for the Coast Guard building, do they want an amendment to be very simple, very narrow, or quite explanatory? Three options. Please give us your thoughts. Bring it back and then let us know what your thoughts are so the board can decide so that we don't do a back and forth to expediently try to get the Coast Guard building usable, generating revenue. Again, that's stalled out. So, back to your opinion piece. Without any piece of documentation, I presented most of the documentation that should have been presented in your packet against me. I believe most of it, if not all of it, should verify that I acted within the accordance of the law, and the chair has definitely violated several instances of the bylaws. This is clearly a smear campaign to try to get me to silence me or step down, and that's not happening. Thank you.
Yeah.
As you could see, somebody has been silenced for quite a while now in this meeting. Somebody was not prepared, as I've heard from Commissioner Schmidt.
Point of order. Point of order.
I'm responding.
I address the public on your issue.
I'm responding to you. No, I have not gotten any notice on this. And here it is. And the last one. Somebody's requesting immediate censure of Chair Weber.
Let's do this.
This is.
You asked for it.
Let's do
yes.
This.
Point of order.
No, but.
From the audience.
Excuse me.
Come out first, please. Send the second time.
Yes.
Let's put this off for 2 weeks. She can present. No? You put it off for a week already. We had on two agendas last week. Put it out so you can get everything from her that you need. She can get everything from you that she needs. That's how it's supposed to be. That's due process. Sharing of the evidence so those issues can be resolved and
yep.
presented. And I've clearly convinced
civil statements were made about me that were clearly false, unwarranted, and at the moment I don't have it in front of me to negate what those accusations were. But you know what? I am not on the agenda, and so therefore it's not of any consequence. Now, Rick, do you have anything that you wanted to say at this point?
The Coast Guard. Am I muted? No. As far as the Coast Guard goes, they're still using the antenna out there, and so they can't complete the transfer. But I don't really think they really care what we do with that out there, as long as we can't make money out there. If we wanted to house somebody out there, I don't see a problem with that whatsoever. He's not paying for it, paying the harbor. You know, I don't know. All this stuff is just so hard for me to deal with. You know, the abalone billing, that was just that was horrible. I thought throwing staff into the street, but you know, she's verifying how she did it, and I just don't like working that way. I don't like what we're doing right now. And so I had some speeches written to address both circumstances, but I will say that I support Chairman Weber and his report concerning the violations of the bylaws and the board principles, bylaws, and Niemer helped rewrite herself. But and my concerns is factually stated. I think all the concerns that he has put on here are factually stated by actual violations of our bylaws and a violated Vice Chairman Niemer's fiduciary duty to the citizens of Delmar County. I think her actions are not doing her fiduciary duty, and I think it's harming the board. I think it's harming our negotiations in a lot of different ways. And I support your report here, Gerhardt. But you know, I have a real hard time supporting censoring people. I have a really hard time having somebody step down from a position that she's only going to hold for 3 months. I would hope that maybe we could have a reprimand of some sort and see if things could change, and that she could show that she can work with the board instead of against the board. I mean, I think these things are definitely violations against the board. She's not coming to the board with any kind of permission. The USDA communication was totally out of line. She knew that our Harbor Master Maker, Sandy Marino, were in negotiations with the USDA. What do you think she was... What did she think they were negotiating? I mean, they were negotiating the loan and the insurance, and she went ahead of everybody without even asking me or anybody whether she should do this or not. And I just don't think that's right. I mean, as long as I've been a board member, we have worked as a board, as five people, and you just can't. I mean, if every single one of us went out and went on our own, doing things on our own, it would be just a total quagmire, which it basically is a quagmire here with one of the board members doing it. So, I mean, I just really am really tired of this. And I, you know, I just really, I just hope that Ann could work as more of a unanimous board member with the rest of us and with Mike. I know she hates Mike, and she's got this hate the Mike thing, and she's got a lot of support with that, but he was voted in by our board, an unanimous vote, to be our harbor master. And you have to respect that. And you have to be able to let him negotiate. And I mean, these things are just dividing us. It's such a division of the board that I don't know how we're going to come out of it. And I'm just hoping that a reprimand would be enough, and that maybe take the matter up in 3 months. And of course, there's a vote in 3 months. If she can work with the board, and she can, I want her to be president next year. I expected her to be. She was the vice chair this year. I was hoping she'd step up with it, but with her actions, I couldn't vote for her. And I'm hoping in 3 months I can change that, and my trust can come back to be able to support her as our chairman. And but I just can't bring myself to silencing people and to removing them from a board where we're supposed to be unanimous and working together. So that's what I have to say. I'm not saying how I'm going to vote. I wanted to listen to everybody's comments. I definitely wanted to hear to Ann's rebuttal. I thought it was, I didn't think much of that, but anyways, that's the way I feel. Thank you very much for letting me speak.
All right.
just when I make sure that everyone understands there was in no way a measure to silence somebody in the function of the board. Nobody, no commissioners gets silenced because I just simply can't. They will talk whenever they feel. I rarely got any commissioner down and made sure that they had enough opportunity to express themselves. Usually, I even go last with my comments because I don't want my quote-unquote semi-authority as a chairperson to influence anybody's opinion on the case. So I've been rather quiet in that respect. But at this point, when I see that there is damage being done. So for example, the latest item, I just got an email from USDA setting up a meeting for Thursday the 18th between 12 and 10. And it's inviting all five commissioners to participate. Now, number one, this is not a commissioner's job to do so. Then if I sign up and let everybody else sign up, we got five commissioners. So this is a Brown Act violation. Now, in order to overcome this Brown Act violation, I need to declare this because it's negotiations. I can declare it as a special clause to a meeting to negotiate. Now, anybody in their right mind willing to go into negotiation with a team that is so not united would be crazy. You can't go into negotiations because you have five people that can't agree, and therefore it doesn't make any sense. So our first decision to let our executive part do their work. This is what they get paid for. And our outside consultant do the work for us and then bring it back. There's no binding resolutions. There's no binding. It only becomes binding once we approve it in our meeting and the public has heard about it. That's basically it. But right now, I'm in the quandary. I have to go back to this person and say, hey, you can't do it because of Brown Act violations. And it creates the problem that wasn't there before. And this is the latest result from Vice Chair Nima's involvement to get involved in something that wasn't hers to be. Okay, at this point, if we want to have a second round to go, yes, go ahead.
Bylaw 3.4, role of the chair. Be courteous and fair and presume that the other party is acting in good faith. Don't presume that Anne is trying to destroy him. Presume that she's trying to do some good. Give her the benefit of the doubt. The presumption of innocence to which she is entitled. Okay. And that's 2.4, I think. 2.4, subparagraph C. 2.5, role of vice chair. The vice chair, subparagraph D, is authorized to attest to legal documents on behalf of the district as approved by the board. Okay. C. The vice chair serves as the board's compliance officer. Her job as vice chair is to make sure things are done right. And both the timely file of financial disclosures and the board's compliance with ethical standards. That's what she's trying to do here. Now, 2.7, subparagraph J. New commissioners should take a course in how to be a commissioner, and they shall also be informed of their right to investigate any harbor-related matter. That's a duty on each and every one of us. She's taking that duty seriously. And that's right in the bylaw.
Which bylaw was that?
2.7, subparagraph J.
Thank you.
And subparagraph K. Each member of the board has access to read and remove all records of the district. Not just the ones that Sandy wants them to see, mm-hmm. All records. 2.8, role of the board, sub A, obligated to be transparent to the public. A rule by law 3.1.2, maintain a high level of integrity, especially with other government agencies. The USDA has an interest in our finances. They have lent us, I don't know, how much money?
Over $5 million.
Over $5 million. We have an obligation to keep them informed. We have an obligation to honor our contract with them, which requires insurance. If any is seeing that we're not going to pay our insurance, that we're going to be in violation of that loan agreement, that loan is in jeopardy. So it's her obligation to maintain a high level of integrity with other government agencies and to ask clarifying questions as needed. Now, Annie, you're also required under 3.1 to come to all meetings prepared. I'm going to ding you on that one because you didn't get enough time to prepare for this one. Kind of put it together at the end. You did a great job, good job. But you could have used more if you'd given more time to respond. Now, the breaches of board principles. I guess the chairman meets with the legal counsel, and they decide if a violation occurs and what action should be taken. So I want to know how it is that the person who's making the accusation, acting as a witness to the offense, meeting with counsel to decide how you should proceed with that, is now acting as the tribunal officer who will very likely administer a punishment. That smells pretty bad. Now, Annie took an oath, as we all did, to faithfully discharge the duties of his or her office according to the best of their ability. Well, Annie happens to have a higher ability level than some of the rest of us. And so she's doing a hell of a job of it. Well, some of us kind of sit here inert most of the time. So, we've got to be careful here. We can't tar and feather Annie because she's done a great job up here. She's done a fabulous job. She's brought things to the attention of the board and the public that they need to know. Let's support her in that effort. Be thankful for it. Don't condemn her for it. Let's be thankful for it. And there are other considerations. But the main thing is Annie is entitled to the benefit of doubt. She's entitled to the presumption of innocence. And all her other rights were denied her. But at least going forward, we can agree with what Rick said. Maybe censure isn't the right remedy. Maybe there's a less harmful remedy. Less harmful. And I say that she's already received that punishment. She's been hail before this commission. It's been on the agenda for 3 different times. She's had to listen to Sandy for half an hour, brag on her. So that's enough. Enough is enough. Let's move forward. Mr. Gerhardt, sir, let's unify this commission. Let's work together. Beginning right now, let's work together. Not to tear her down, but to get past it and say, okay, all right, she got the word, she got notice, she's had to go through the motions to respond. She's learned her lesson. Let's move on and get on with the business of the board. Thank you, sir.
Bob?
Yeah.
So I prepared a statement, but I'm going to forego it at this time because it raises other concerns that I have about Ann's actions. And I voted for Annie to be the vice chair, so it's of no comfort to me to sit here and have to agree with this report. But I have to agree with Chairman Shepherd that the nature of the board is to work in unison to and to find goals and to direct the harbor in that direction. And I agree that Annie has acted independently outside of the board, and I believe that's what this report is reflecting, and that we can't do business that way. One of the areas that I'm concerned with is that as a board member, when we're contacting outside agencies, we need to be very explicit that we're not representing the Harbor District, the board as a whole, and not representing the will of the board. So I have concerns that Annie hasn't been doing that, and it's caused outside agencies to have confusion on who they should be dealing with and negotiating with. Commissioner Shepherd brought up a very good point about if we all conducted ourselves in that way with outside agencies, it would be absolute chaos. Commissioner Niemer can contact the USDA and say that the board, wants to go one direction. I can call back and say that the board wants to go another direction. It would create absolute chaos. So consensus of the board is a priority. And as a board member, as a commissioner, we should always be seeking consensus of the board. That's how we operate. That's how we do business. I see that Annie very prepared, but there are concerns inside this report that I don't think she's addressed sufficiently. One of them is the legal fees with counsel. The Harbor Council is not any individual commissioner's counsel. They don't represent the individual commissioner. They represent the board as a whole. Commissioner Schmidt brought up another very good point, that is the vice chair. She's the compliance officer for this board. We have situations where instead of coming back to the board and trying to correct a Brown Act violation as a whole of the board, that she submitted litigation against the very board that she serves, costing us thousands of dollars in litigation fees. I don't think that's a good representation of what a leader of this board should be doing. We should always be striving to make each other better and make sure that we're serving the public's best interests, not incurring unnecessary legal costs. As far as the undisclosed consultations with general counsel, I brought this up a couple meetings ago, that if any commissioner contacts legal counsel, that it needs to be reported back in closed session if it's sensitive. Ms. Niemer's statement that it's a conflict of interest and that it's an attorney-client privilege. Why? If it affects the board as a whole, and this legal counsel is for the board, it affects all of us, and it should always be brought back to the board to determine whether or not this legal counsel, one, was necessary, and two, how do we correct issues? And I think we should always be coming back to the board prior to initiating litigation. Commissioner Niemer, on numerous occasions, she has stated that she's for full transparency with the public. And I agree, we should be fully transparent with the public. However, Commissioner Niemer also filed litigation against this very board to keep an HR investigation from going out to the public. Why isn't it out in the public? So just because we don't like that information doesn't mean we keep it from the public. And I'm a staunch advocate for that. And I think I've proven that. All information is for public consumption if it affects your guys' decision making and how you direct us as a board to move forward. My idea of this is that, potentially go through each of these items and discuss them. It seems like we kind of did a shotgun approach, and I don't think we have a very clear a clear view on Commissioner Niemer's rebuttal to these items. So I mean, I have to agree that a censure should not be taken lightly. Removing somebody from their leadership position on this board should never be taken lightly. But it is something that, you know, that we are right now discussing. Once again, I have to agree with Commissioner Shepherd that this report, after reviewing it, is accurate. Some of the issues have been ongoing. I would hope that Commissioner Niemer takes a look at it, recognizes deficiencies, and corrects course, and realizes that she's not independent of this board, and that she needs to act in good faith, not only with the board, but with the public, and try to have consensus with the board. So to me, that's one of the biggest issues. And also the legal fees, tens of thousands of dollars in litigation. Like you said, the vice chair's one of their responsibilities is compliance. But that doesn't mean go directly to litigation. That means meet with the chair, another board member, get consensus, and correct these deficiencies. So I agree with the report. That's accurate. There's some issues Vice Chair Niemer needs to correct.
Yeah. 10 seconds.
And
when he's done.
Are you done?
I would hope that this is a cautionary tale for all board members that working independently is against the spirit of our bylaws. And I have no doubt that Commissioner Niemer understands those bylaws and understands the spirit and the letter of those bylaws. Like I said, I have other concerns outside this report that I was going to bring up. I think it's appropriate at this time, and maybe we can address those at a later date.
I'm going to have a couple more short comments before I bring in staff for more detail on some of the issues. Yes, go ahead.
Bylaw 6.2, subparagraph B. The board recognizes and affirms the right of individual commissioner to consult directly and confidentially with general counsel on district-related matters.
Bring those matters back to the board in closed session.
Okay.
So don't pick and choose. We need to take it as a whole in the spirit of the bylaws. If you consult with legal counsel, the bylaws are clear that you're supposed to bring it back to the board in closed session. That's a way for us to maintain some kind of oversight of our legal fees. So, I mean,
we had these problems, excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we had these problems several years ago, and that bylaw was put in there for that reason, because we had a board member that was exhausting a tremendous amount of money talking straight to the council when he didn't need to. It needs to be brought in front of the board and then in front of council, not as an individual commissioner.
Okay. 5.1 of board principles, work only as a board with no independent, tangential, or hidden agendas. Always strive for consensus. Remembering unanimity is not required. It's very clear. We're supposed to work as a board, and our job isn't to force people into a decision with litigation, but to strive for consensus and to convince the rest of the board that that's the direction that we should be taking. I'm finished.
And again, that is to save us some money, because if every individual one of us went to our council every time we had something some concern, it would cost us, and it was costing us a tremendous amount of money. And we put that in the bylaws strictly so that we could discuss the issues amongst the board and then take it to our attorney, our counsel. And that is the way it should be. Otherwise, you'll go broke with everybody calling the attorney every twice a day.
All right. One last way before bringing what you want to reserve for your time or whatever.
Well, I'd like to thank you for making assumptions about how I talked to legal counsel when you have no idea what happened.
We don't know because you never brought it back.
I'm discussing it how you don't interrupt. At the last meeting, I informed you that I spoke to Ryan Plott. That is the first time I spoke to our general counsel via telephone. He requested that I call him. I informed the board. The first time I spoke to Ryan Plott was after the meeting here, when you may or may not have been aware, and he took me upstairs to talk to him. Yes, if any of us want to speak to him after that meeting, there are emails, a few of them here and there, where he has been CC'd to be made aware of the legal issues that are going on, because I believe that he is being kept in the dark about them. let's see. I've been represented by my own legal counsel and therefore have been not been in direct contact with Mr. Plotz for some time. Again, so your accusations on that point are not true. Previous counsel, BBK, again, I never called them when there were phone calls. They called me. Often Chair Weber was aware of it. Often Harbor Master Rademacher was three-wayed in or called me right before or after it. Those issues were also discussed in closed session. There were a couple of emails, again, regarding legal matters that I did not bring back to the board because the chair, again, was roped in on those. Per the Brown Act, I cannot email all five of you, all of the discussions, or it violates the Brown Act. The chair is aware. The chair did not call closed sessions to discuss those issues, so they could not be discussed. As far as reaching out to outside agencies, while you'd like to think it's a quagmire or running amok, if five of us were reaching out to outside agencies to verify what the staff has presented to this board over the past several years, we would not be in the situation we were in. We would be moving forward much quicker. Instead, we are trusting and not verifying and not doing our job, and I refuse to sit idly by not doing that. Again, litigation fees. This is a giant deflection. I reported falsified documents in the May 28th email in here. Harbor Master Rademacher verified he falsified those documents by presenting the chair and I with the deleted text messages that I mentioned as being falsified documents. I don't know how this is Aaron's legal issues. I brought it to the board. The board could have launched an investigation into that and made an instant metadata inquiry. That is not what happened. The other litigation, well, cure and correct letters were issued. Members of the public have previously issued cure and correct letters that had been ignored. I issued cure and correct letters, I believe 7 to 9 days after that letter. I submitted the second pending litigation, then litigation, because it was evident this board did not address your incorrect letters, violated CEPRAs. This board willfully violated the Brown Act after I told them they would be violating the Brown Act by doing that vote. So I'm not sure what more remedies you would like when I say you will be violating the Brown Act by doing this vote and being told that the consequence is filing a cure and correct letter, so just go ahead and do it. Again, put accountability on me instead of taking your own accountability is deflecting. Again, the chair is not scheduling special meetings. He is being made aware and CC'd on almost every email I'm doing. I am within the rights of the Brown Act. If I could, I would email the whole public. I have nothing to hide. I cannot do that. And again, the HR investigation wasn't brought back in closed session to be discussed, not one time. Otherwise, you would know about the email, the pending response that Chair Weber and the attorney and the investigation company received, and you would have received my rebuttal. However, the investigator immediately resigned within that time window of my rebuttal. Further, members of this board have received a letter from Harbor Master Rademacher against me without providing me that letter, stepping up, doing the right thing. Nothing. I have a copy. Please don't. I have no qualms about getting it out there, but this was, again, a violation. With that, I have nothing more to say.
All right.
Chair, can you get a break for everybody? That would make sense, especially as upset as she is and everything else. What's your request?
Right now, we don't have any public comments.
I didn't ask for that. I asked for a break.
Mr. Chair, can I request that we take a 5-minute recess?
I'll second that. I think everybody
all
needs
right.
A break.
5-minute recess.
We are resuming our meeting.
My next person that I would like to talk about the issues at hand is our Harbor Master.
A point of order, when staff talks out about commissioners, it's insubordination.
Staff can fill in with details that are not have so far not been discussed. Furthermore,
yes,
there are outside contractors that are will be taken advantage of letting details to be known that help make the point.
We don't want words, we want proof.
Yeah.
It's against the law.
You've given us absolutely nothing. This is all assumption and opinion. You're the one who should
excuse
be resigning.
Excuse me, not the board. You have been recognized. This is your first warning. The next warning, you're talking. I have to ask you to leave. So please make sure to not interrupt this meeting. The meeting has already started. So please, you may have an opinion. That's okay. So, at this point, I want some facts to be known. I don't have those facts at my hands. I need somebody else to present those facts. Sandra Moreno.
You might want to call legal. Seriously.
Yeah.
You might want to call legal. Oh my God.
At the June 25th meeting, we passed a budget, probably a better budget than you've had in many years. Yes, it had a negative amount on it. We showed that reserves were there to cover the negative amount. But that's reality. That's exactly what you looked like at the time we did that. At that time, you had a 3-2 decision to not pay insurance at the time. That's June 25th. In July, I reach out to USDA and I get loan documents from them. I don't get it until 7/28, 7/29. The very next day, we have a tsunami. And we should all note that we are currently under a local emergency and will for many months. I know business. I know how to run a business. I know how to run an office. I think in the last 3 weeks, since the Commissioner Niemer reached out to the USDA directly on September 2nd. At the June 25th meeting, you guys decided to restrict the reserves so that it couldn't be spent elsewhere, pending if we'd find out whether we needed that insurance or not. At that time, I said, that's good that you restrict it. I'm going to need that money. I'm going to need it at the end of the year. I knew I wasn't going to need it in September when we had to do the USDA loan, because at the June 25th meeting, I had reported that I'd already reached out to Clint Shad at the county auditor's office and discussed that the contract said they could pay it directly, so I already knew that was probably the avenue we were going to have to go. I come to the 8:27 meeting. Now, this is just 2 weeks after we're going through all the tsunami stuff, right? I come to that meeting. I'd reached out three times by phone and once by email to get hold of Clint Chad and didn't hear back from him. So I didn't have a report that I'd already made the connection and I was going to make that payment happen. Instead, I reported I've reached out to him. The payment's due on the 1st, which was, you know, 4 or 5 days away. Had a plan to make sure it's all paid. No problems. No problems there. But on September 2nd, Commissioner Niemer reaches out to the USDA, trying to verify, trust and verify everything that I've said. Right after she does that, the attorney sends her a letter. I understand that this is not privileged information. Commissioner Niemer, while I understand your desire to get clarification on matters regarding the USDA loan, I must respectfully request that you refrain from directly communicating with the USDA and that you instead communicate through the CEO, Harbormaster. Mr. Rademacher provided you an update on Friday, August 29th, in which he noted that he and Sandy are in regular communication with the USDA and are awaiting a response from USDA as to options. Mr. Rademacher further stated that a special meeting will be called once he has received formal correspondence from USDA. Mr. Rademacher further stated in his email to you that to avoid mixed signals and to preserve our negotiating position, please direct USDA-related inquiries through Sandy and me so we can keep communications consistent and coordinated. This is an entirely appropriate request, especially when dealing with a government agency on a matter as sensitive as outstanding loan obligations. In the interest of the district's position, I ask that you refrain from any direct communication with the USDA and allow your staff to evaluate opinions with the USDA. As Mr. Rademacher noted, a special meeting will be called to provide a full report. Thank you for your understanding. She was directly advised to not reach out to the USDA. That's September 2nd. Just 3 to 4 days after I said, don't worry about the payment not being made because we're going to reach out to the county and they're going to pay it for us. So really no concern, but it's stepped up a bit.
Hey, Mike, and Commissioner Chair Weber, is counsel available? Is it legal to have staff intervene in this or not?
We have talked to counsel before, and we have been told to make sure to only present the facts as to support any of our contentions. So if Ryan is online, we can have him chiming in on it.
I would feel more comfortable, and I'm sorry, Sandy, it's nothing against you. I just want to make sure that it's legal for our staff to intervene in this. And if it's for facts only, I'm totally in favor of it, but I just would like to know for sure from our counsel, which we always go to counsel to make sure we're doing the right thing. So could we please make sure we do the right thing?
All I have is strictly the facts. There's no opinion on it. Okay. Ryan, would you please be able to make a statement as to the fact that I can ask a staff member or a contractor to provide the facts to support my contentions, because I don't have them at my usage right now with me.
Yeah, so, you know, this is inherently a political issue that should be resolved between the commissioners. Staff can provide information. Staff should not take opinions. And commissioners should not be directing staff in any way, shape, or form. The commission acts through collective action. So, you know, I don't think it's the best idea to have staff participate in a political process, including a censure. That was my advice. But there's nothing inherently illegal about staff presenting on a political topic such as this.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Okay.
Point of information.
It'd be my understanding of the state with facts.
All those over. Documents last at the last meeting.
Nope.
We have them.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that first part.
You presented all these documents. You're stating we have them. Yeah.
They're part of this document. And
you presented them. You could have presented them as part of your packet.
Yeah, I could.
To eliminate this.
But this is the person who is involved on a daily basis. She's the one who has to deal with it. And therefore, her presentation of the facts is probably a lot more complete and relevant than me, because I'm just a board member. Would you please continue okay. with the facts?
So that's all happening at 8:27. We have it under control. 9:02, she's reaching out to USDA. And I've read Ryan's letter based on that. 2 days later, Annie Niemer sends an email to Mike Rademacher because she set up a state lands commissions meeting. To that end, I requested the amended budget, the faithful performance bond, the USDA loan documents, and the district's insurance records. I also asked for the profit and loss report. I did eventually receive a version of the P&L. It was reformatted into Excel rather than produced directly from QuickBooks, which raises concerns about accuracy. This is what she's going to be reporting out to the State Lands Commission. Many of my constituents are concerned and want to know the district's plan for avoiding bankruptcy. I've been advised that as a commissioner, I have a fiduciary duty to be actively involved in finding a solution. If I fail to do so, if I simply sit back and take no action, I could be held personally liable by the very people I was elected to serve. I'm not the only board member who worries about this. The decision to withhold the records I requested has forced me to take steps on my own so that I can demonstrate I did everything within my power to avoid bankruptcy and minimize personal litigation risks if the district fails. Because these issues are serious and unresolved, I reached out to the State Lands Commission. They have scheduled a call with me this Monday, September 8th, 2025, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. I want to extend the invitation to my fellow commissioners to participate. If you wish to attend, please promptly notify the chair. I will be attending. Therefore, if more than two commissioners wish to attend, the chair will need to schedule a special meeting. So she's reaching out to the State Lands Commission. 2 days earlier, she was asked to not reach out to the USDA. 2 days later, she's reaching out to the State Lands Commission. I would like to reserve my 3 minutes as a public person. This is my report as your staff.
Thank you. All right. I entertain a motion. And after that, I'll invite the public to make a comment on all of that. Get your 3 minutes. Please make sure you are not, we need to have a motion first. Make sure you're not making any comments against any other person in the public area. Because what it did in the past, it prevents people from actually speaking up, and it curtails the First Amendment right. Also, please make sure that you only address items that are right now to be discussed, that are on the agenda. This is what's agendized. And you have your 3 minutes at this point, but I need you to get a motion first. Do I have a motion to? Yes.
I move that we reject the resolution to censure Ann Hemer and to or to remove her from her leadership position as vice chair.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I second that motion.
Okay. We don't have any other. Do we have any other motion?
We have to take a vote on that
one. I want to have the public first.
Comment.
Yep, public comment. Ready, set, go.
Hi, it's Lee. Go ahead, Rick. Go ahead, Rick.
Oh, I'd like it to add it in there that we are adding in a stern reprimand for the actions that she has made in the last with the USDA and the State Lands Commission. At least that, a reprimand for doing that with that motion.
I amend my motion to include a letter of reprimand and put in her personnel file for 90 days.
And I rescind my second.
Motion fails. No second.
Motion fails. No second. Is there any other motion?
I'd like to make a motion. I move to censuring and removing Commissioner Niemer from her vice chair position based on the report of the chairman. I found no evidence no evidence has been presented that she did commit these actions outlined in this report. And that's the nature of this meeting that we're having today.
Do we have a second? All right, I second it. The motion's on the floor. Public comment.
Hi, it's Alicia Williams. So fundamentally, this is about double standards. Like tons of double standards, and you can't do that. If you guys would just adhere to the bylaws, I mean, the public is the boss here, and you guys ignore us constantly. And then you force some people that actually care enough to go to the court to appeal to their authority to bring you into compliance with the law. Okay, that is you. Okay, causing legal fees. That is not Annie doing it. It is not Linda doing it. It is you, predominantly the chair, because you're the one with the most authority of the board. You also have personal liability, like Annie said, like Sandy just read in her letter, all of you, because you're fiduciaries. Okay, that's a big duty. Okay, you can personally go to jail and be fined. I think it's up to $10,000. Okay. Sandy just made the argument against what you all are saying when she read that letter. This needs to be done. The circus, by the way, for people that don't know, they continually create circuses. Why? They're trying to distract from what they're doing. They've been purposely running this institution, a public-owned institution, into the ground. Why? Why would they do that? To disenfranchise the public and give a reason to privatize. And then the fishermen don't have rights. And any of the public don't have rights. And guess what gets to happen after that? All the land, resources, water, fish, offshore wind, they all get to happen because it's privatized and the public can't do anything about it. And you're trying to disenfranchise women first. And that's part of the bigger agenda. Look up Interior Secretary Doug Burnham wanting to rescind the public lands rule that they just passed in 2024. It's part of the overarching privatization scheme that has been going on for a long time by what some people call the deep state, okay? And you guys are all part of it. And Annie's the only one that is doing her due diligence from the public, because you guys are here. We appointed you, or not appointed, we elected you to do the public's business at a public institution, okay? None of you are doing that except Annie. So what I would, if it was me and I could do a motion,
I would say to have ask or vote that Gerhard voluntarily resign because of gross lack of leadership and constant bad decisions that have done. This is where I'm going to get to your agenda thing. So you're the one who's at fault, and you're the one who did at the bottom of page one. You caused reputational harm, undermining of confidence in governance. You've also endangered sensitive loans, okay? Because you said to Jessica at Redwood Voice that if I was going to invest in this place, I would run away with my money. And she printed it. And that was last fall in November. And I sent an email to all of you saying, I would seriously reconsider who you have talking to the press, because putting something like that in writing, we will never have anybody come. That was the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. You've also allowed people such as Sandy at the last meeting to literally say, and I mean, you didn't respond to it, when she literally said she was going to control all records to quote unquote clean them up first. Okay, is that enough? Is that enough for you?
Thank you. Got you 3 minutes. You need to let Cliff know when she's just done. Right on the air. Okay, somebody else.
So, in my perspective, this entire act of censorship is not about conduct, it's about retaliation. It stems from Annie Niemer refusing unlawful sexual harassment advances of Harbor Master Michael Rademacher, the same man who authored this so-called staff report through Gerhard Weber. Mr. Weber, in his ignorance, allowed Rademacher to not only generate this report, but also serve as the sole investigation against Annie Niemer. That is harassment by definition. The report offers no dates, times, or places, no factual descriptions. Instead, it is ridicule with empty admonishments. It even forbids Commissioner Niemer from asking questions to the district's own lender. Why? Because on June 25th, Rademacher and Moreno lied to the board about the USDA loan insurance. They were caught, and now they seek to burn a commissioner and silence her voice. The truth is, this commissioner filed lawsuits not for personal gain, but to shine a light on corruption that every one of you knows exists and has chosen to bury. You call her Brown Act claims meritless, Mr. Rademacher, yet the grand jury validated every claim of Brown Act, Mr. Evans. The report embellishes tens of thousands were spent on attorney fees. That too is a lie to the public. The only outside investigation was $1,800, and that was because of Rademacher was proven biased and the investigator was fired. You accuse Niemer of withholding information from the board when in fact she shares it openly with the public in her reports. Meanwhile, the man behind this charade, Mr. Rademacher, has mutilated, edited, falsified public records, and yet he's investigating her. When in fact, I have proof of what I disclosed. He, Weber, and Moreno, they do not. So I ask, where is your general counsel? Where's the legal guardrail that should stop this board from suppressing and punishing an elected commissioner who is guilty only of telling the truth? And finally, Commissioner Evans, you like to start the prayer? Well, get this. Psalms 101, verse 7. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who speaks lies shall stand in my presence. So why don't you keep that in mind next time you say a prayer? Because as far as I'm concerned, you people Thank are you. Liars.
Thanks. Somebody else.
All right.
This is the craziest thing I've ever seen. I did personnel investigations for public officials for many years. You guys don't have a clue. your own attorney just got on there and said, no, it's not in your best interest to bring employees into this. The government code specifically says you cannot have employees investigate an elected official. John, you got no idea. And I'm sorry, man, because I like you. But the deal is, this is an elected official thing. And there are rules. There are a lot of rules, many, many more rules. This isn't a general person. This is an elected official. You guys are missing out. I'm going to read this real quick because I'm going to get way off track. So this is going to make a good headline in our new newspaper. Does Mitchell Law Firm paralegal Rademacher, along with Crescent City Harbor District Chair Weber and Harbor assistant employees, launch a rogue investigation of an elected official without board approval? And y'all admitted that today. None of you came to the board and said, hey, we're going to take this action today. Weber admitted that. Evans confirmed it in open session. Weber is no longer allowing staff contractors. I added that. So anyway, Chair Weber submitted public documents via internet, once again, denying 72-hour review. Even employee paralegal Rademacher stated in public documents a week ago that the matter would be addressed in the future, but withheld the information from the public. The submitted evidence, and by the way, you changed it at the last minute. That makes it a new document, a new 72 hours. The submitted evidence alleged the Commission of Constitutional Rights to Access the Courts constitutes financial misuse of public funds. This information was known only in closed session to participants and may be now be discoverable. And you brought up the sexual harassment case, which was done in closed session. So you all just did it. And you all just messed up bad. Now you're going to make that stuff discoverable. And that's cool. Weber's allegation could very well constitute violation of the attorney-client privilege. The public now has the right to access this as evidence and determine the censure is lawful. It is yet to be determined which case or if all cases closed session information becomes public. As the public was previously informed, these cases were dropped and their merits were not adjudicated. The Mitchell Law Firm paralegal Rademacher assures the public that the cases had no merit and therefore a waste of money. That again, that was in closed session. It now begs the question as why the paralegal Rademacher states monies and work are still being done on cases that were closed. That sounds a lot like the movie The Firm with Tom Cruise in it. Then I'm going to tell you what the U.S. Constitution says and what the court says. An elected official, like any other citizen, has the right to file lawsuits. Government bodies, councils, schools cannot retaliate against someone, including an elected colleague, for exercising this right. Really? You're supposed to know this stuff. The court has withheld retaliation against someone for exercising First Amendment rights may be unlawful. And it goes on into different case laws and such. I'm not going to bore you with all that. If the censure is clearly retaliatory and intended to punish and chill the First Amendment activity, it may be unconstitutional. Supreme Court ruled and left open the door for especially those with consequences to be challenged. There's your time.
You. Somebody else. Reprimand. Heard the word used before. Webster's Dictionary. To formally reprimand someone. To express official censure of someone. Reprimand and censure are synonymous. There's no difference between it. Only difference, you're a public agency and it requires you to do this. You know, when I hear some of these emotions very high, of course, there's some of these things bandied about. It draws me back to a time when we were electing a harbor master. 21. It was a 4-1 vote, and Commissioner Niemer did not agree with that. She missed the one vote. So what Ms. Niemer did is she hired herself an attorney. Boylan is his name. And with Ms. Niemer's back and forth and Boylan contacting the board, $55,000 worth of added legal fees were there because Commissioner Niemer did not approve of a 4-1 vote. That was the first of many abrogations that you see going on here. Chairman Weber, you've tried, and I know that, and Rademacher, Mr. Rademacher, you've tried to satiate there's such a public and really quite putrid hatred that permeates this room right here with some of the people in this audience. You can do no right when I know you have. Thank you, Ocean Gold, for doing one of many things that have added revenue. What has this board done to add revenue except take it away? We're not rich. Mr. Schmidt, I don't think you know the difference between a ham sandwich and fashion blacksmith. Your ignorance is powerful. You make like you're an attorney, and you're not. You've been disruptive, and you've been disrupted. Whatever you do with this event right here, whether you censure, and I hope you did, strongly advise it. I'm not sure Ms. Niemer will hear it. She's blameless. Her tiara is a little crooked, if you might notice. She has plenty of blame and culpability. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Point of order.
Excuse me.
Why?
Is that, she did this?
Yes.
Get her out of here. You promised you would. You she burned it out. Please get her out. Please get her
you
out.
You don't
here.
Run this. You don't, we didn't elect
do you. Hear, do you hear this?
Excuse me. Yes, exactly. I
won't
what another if Supervisor Gitlin's comments up, I'd like
no.
to make a comment.
He has the right to say whatever he needs to say. I gave you the same right. I have warned you before.
I apologize. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very, very much. I need you to leave. Thank you.
No, I'm not leaving. I won't say another word. Thank you.
No.
Yeah.
Long is going to rush not to have disruptive behavior in my business meeting. I'm so sorry. You need to leave. All right, Pavel. Is there a break? Short break.
Well, we have okay. We have law enforcement here.
Yeah.
I have a public comment.
Law enforcement here. Okay. No one talks.
No, no, nobody talks right now. We have a public comment. We need somebody to be removed. This person is disrupting my meeting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. U.S. Code 241, deprivation rights on
we're not removing any. You can cancel your meeting. That's it.
That's one. Conspiracy of deprivation.
So, what do the words mean when someone disrupts?
Means basically nothing.
Yeah. You can cancel the meeting. Someone can disrupt this meeting. Please keep my time on whatever is left. Someone like Ms. Williams can disrupt this meeting, and there are
you're
no
allowing Supervisor Gitlin excessive
consequences.
Mr. Gitlin, you're using your time right now.
Okay, then I'll finish out by saying that whatever happens here, you can promise, and I have the paperwork ready to do, both will be subject to a recall. You, Ms. Niemer, and you, Mr. Schmidt, and I will do that. Plenty of time now. Paper is not in business. I will do that successfully. Thank you.
Bob. Well, I don't know why you jump when this lady does something. He goes off the deep end last week.
Point of order.
No.
Right. Mr.
Yeah, exactly. I warned you last time. Please address the Harbor business.
I'm looking
don't
at
talk
the Harbor
about
business.
Other people.
She's a commissioner.
Don't talk
she?
About other people. Talk to me.
Okay.
Talk to
somebody
the boy.
In the stand went ape shit last week on her, and you did nothing. I raised my voice and called him a liar. You beat your little toy hammer all the time. This lady asked a question, and you go all over her. Who do you work for? You say you work for the public. I've called him four or five times without a phone call. Talk to you is like talking to a pile of dog shit. He said he's going to give me goddamn paperwork 6 months ago, and I still don't have it. Jerry Hemmingson asked for it, too. Have you got that? No. So, you know, her double-checking your guys' stuff, that's a crime? Hell, I'd be triple-checking, quadruple-checking. I mean, you sit there with a little smug face with your little hammer thinking you're the law in this office? I don't see it, dude. As far as working for the public, you don't work for me. You know, and I fished out of this harbor for 44 years, and I got this now to sit here and look at? I don't get it.
Hey, somebody else. I'd like to talk about online.
May I speak from online?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, this is Robert Dorigo. I rent the little old surf shop there on Anchor Way. I'm a Brown Act fan. You know, I'm not politically aligned with everybody there, maybe, but I'm a big Brown Act fan. And even this meeting, it was agendized last week, you know, and these are for urgent matters, you know. And when you take away that and you call it a special meeting, you only give the public 24 hours to prepare for the meeting. I think last week's meetings kind of shows you that this was not an urgent matter, to say the least. since it could have been postponed through, I think, three meetings scheduled last week. I'm a huge Brown Act fan, and I rent there. I don't want to cause any waves, but I do expect my supervisors of my county, my city council members of the council, and I expect the harbor commissioners to be looking at the numbers and double checking them with original sources. This is how you manage a business. I used to take over fast food shops, and the first thing I did was fire everybody because they were all probably part of the reason that my food cost was off, and I hired a new crew. And that doesn't happen in the government, I understand that, and maybe it shouldn't happen. But this meeting is a shame, I think. It's just a shame. I have not been able to make sense of the harbor's finances. You know, I've been asking, hey, can we put those RV parks on Airbnb? I'm glad that there's commissioners and city council members and supervisors that do homework and reach out. Now, if she tries to get two other commissioners involved, it becomes a meeting. So all of you are expected individually to go out and do your homework by yourselves and report back at a meeting. You're not supposed to censor your colleague for doing their homework. And yes, the grand jury clearly points out that the Brown Act is heavily ignored in our county. You know, we have a healthcare district that does not physically post their meetings. We have a Chamber of Commerce that has contributions from the various government entities and membership, which makes them a Brown Act body. They do not post their meetings. Maybe the harbor is actually doing better than some of them, but the Brown Act asks you to do a little better than you did last week. It doesn't ask you just to do what you did last week. It's always asking you to do a little better. Thank you.
Thank you. Somebody else with a public comment.
I'm speaking now as the silent majority, because what you have here is the vocal minority.
Excuse me. Shh.
The CEO, the various people that have stood up here have just thrown me to the wolves and throw Mike Rademacher to the wolves. What I've said for the last 2 weeks to the board members who would listen is that we have to stop this. We're known as the best drama in town. We have to stop this. This is your best way to stop this. Commissioner Niemer has come here and said, you will not stop me. She's given three of you, what's the term, bill of charges. You know that she's coming after you. We want to be unified. We should always have a 5-0. But at some point, you guys have to realize that isn't going to happen, and you need to step up. This is like bad parenting. You know, you keep saying you're going to do it. You keep saying you're going to do it. It's before you now. You have a chance to be a good parent and make something happen here so that we can move forward, because we're not moving forward. If you do not take this action today, we're going to be more of the same. And that means Mike and I are just going to be attacked. How are we going to do our jobs if we can't get the board to step up and say, this is not proper action. You need to allow staff to do their job. I'm asking you, board members, please, you have all the power. Step up, make that hard decision, and be a good parent.
Thank you. All right. Anybody else online? Okay, let's then, there's a motion on the floor. Let's go through with the vote. Let's do the call.
Point of information.
Yes.
Commissioner Shepherd, are you on vacation right now?
Vacation is a broad term. I'm not President Crescent City. No.
Per the law.
I can't say what I've been doing has been on a vacation with meetings every 3 days, and I can't do anything. We were supposed to be fishing today, and I couldn't go because of this meeting. I'm not really on a very good damn vacation. Let me put it that way. This commissioner stuff is really has not been very much fun the last week.
The Zoom regulations authorize commissioners to vote remotely only when there's just cause, and vacation is not just cause.
I think there's probably a lot wrong with this vote. Hank had brought one out, the Brown Act, the short notification. I'm not liking any of it. And then you won't even admit a reprimand that you, everything you've done is perfect. And I'm so sick of it. I'm just so sick of it. I just can't even explain how sick I am of it. So keep it up. Go, keep going. Bring up all these little legal matters that really don't matter to me. So go ahead. Yeah, I'm on vacation, having a great time.
Well, thank you for clearing that. That precludes you from having to vote today.
Fine.
It's true.
Chair Weber, if I may.
Yes, please.
So my understanding is that Commissioner Shepherd is not participating under AB 2449 for either just cause or emergency circumstances. He's participating under the default Brown Act rules, which requires for remote participation that his location be noted on the agenda as a meeting location, which is accessible and open to members of the public. The address is noted, and it's my understanding that the agenda was posted at that meeting location, just as it would be at the physical meeting location for the commissioners. So in that sense, it's not under AB 2449. It is under the default Brown Act teleconference provisions.
Mr. Plotz, can you please repeat that number for me?
AB 2449 is the just cause or emergency circumstance exception to the Brown Act teleconference rules that came as a residue of the pandemic.
All right, we have our answer. All right. I need the roll call.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Hell no.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Shepherd?
Aye.
Vice Chair Niemer?
No.
Chair Weber?
Aye. Ayes have it. At this point, I have told you that there's one. I move the public comment section to the end. If anybody wants to make a comment, this is your 3-minute time. Dev, I move from the front to the end. But what's not on the agenda, please?
Yes, I would like to thank everyone for our veterans flag flying. I appreciate you guys letting me talking here. And I spoke for other people that said I could. I was out of town last week. I would have been here. He called me over in Man's Pass and he let me know that our flag was flying. So thank you very, very much.
You're welcome,
Richard. Sir. Thank you.
Sorry it took till 9 o'clock to bring it down to half flag on 911. I really feel bad about that.
No, that's good. I appreciate it all.
All right. Anybody else? Don't see anybody? Meeting adjourned. Thank you.